piece of meat?
Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Welcome, film fans. What's up? Happy Thursday, moviegoers. Welcome to another bonus edition. Welcome to Jurassic Park 3, and welcome to the Cinema Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Juan, joined by the cast, the crew, the guys, the good fellas. Zach?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Also joined by Nick, the 4K bad guy. How are you guys doing this week?
What's up?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Good day. Real good day. It's a bittersweet day coming to you guys, talking another great movie, talking another episode with some great guys. But news broke. Ray Liotta died today, who was a big time good actor, most notably known for Goodfellas. So thoughts and prayers out to the man's family. But other than that, it's been a good day. A good day to talk some dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
But another good note, Nick, longtime fellow of this great channel and this great platform that we're on. We all hit a big milestone today. One of the forefathers, I guess you would say that you are. Do you want to announce and let everybody know what happened?
Yes. So we hit the big milestone of 500. It kind of just creeped up out of nowhere. Not that long ago, I saw we're like maybe 50 away from it. But I guess I got the correction here. 500 plus exclamation mark. That is from the Most of Wall 1 Franco. But yeah, 500, 500.
508 to be exact. That's a lot.
Yeah, but I'm thankful for the people that are subbed, that tune in to what we either be wrestling content or some horror content, which I do with Juan and Mr. Fuentes.
A lot of great content on this channel. It could be, like you said, wrestling, movies, unpackings. This is a really great channel, and if you guys check it out, subscribe, like, comment, share the channel. So a lot of good stuff on this great channel. So
we got again, another comment. We were at 458 this morning, now 509.
Now 509, so it's changed. It's growing. It's getting girthier. I mean,
anytime Johnny has the ability to use that word, it, you know, he's gonna do it.
Hey. He just slips it in randomly.
you gotta slip it in when you can.
It's family friendly shows, man.
It is real friendly, especially when you're talking about how big some of these dinosaurs are. And we're gonna get right into it here pretty soon. But I want to thank everybody for joining, whether it's visual or listening. Also, thank you too for joining me. In a world where there's so much like darkness and just nasty stuff going on in this world, I want to thank everybody still. And we'll send thoughts, prayers to everybody in Texas for the just the gross and the nasty stuff that happened. Yeah, that happened this past week. So everybody on this channel and everybody on all three podcasts and wherever you are watching this from, we all want to just say send some thoughts and prayers to Texas, because it's not fair what they had to go through.
No.
But speaking of where to listen to us at, you guys can check us out on right here on this channel. You can also check us out wherever you listen to podcasts at, whether it be Spotify, Anchor, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, YouTube. Now, but last week, we debuted on this channel, and we talked about the Lost World Jurassic Park last week. And then this past Monday, we talked about a war movie, like we do for our fourth annual Memorial Day War movie. We talked about Glory, so you can go back and listen to any of those episodes. So yeah, what about you guys? Nick, do you have anything that you want to get into? Big week, also over at Friday the 14th. We talked about Sleepwalkers yesterday.
Sleepwalkers.
On UHD, which I feel like it was a really fun conversation. I think it's one of the most underrated Stephen King movies, probably, that he's ever been a part of. And yeah, I really think it's a super underrated movie. So if you guys haven't checked it out, go check it out. You can watch us on YouTube as well. But Nick, you also announced Father's Day.
Oh, shit.
So I don't know if you want to show everybody what we're going to be talking about in 2 weeks.
So this is a horror comedy from 2011. This is a movie that we'll be reviewing on the 8th of June. It's a little earlier than Father's Day, but I wanted to do the episode on UHD. So, and we're going to have a special guest known as the Funko Fat Guy, a.k.a. Jake. He's a cool dude. I've interviewed him before, back when I used to do Emo Soul Lives. Which, funny enough, that's how me and Juan grew our connection, I guess, to start another podcast.
Yeah. Zach, what about you before we dig in? What's been going on with you this week? Are you excited for the 3-day Memorial Day weekend?
I am. It's nice to have a 3-day weekend. I'm going to go see the cruise. Got to get some Top Gun in there. I actually just rewatched the first Top Gun today just to have a little reminder, because I haven't watched it since we did our episode, which, believe it or not, Johnny, it's been almost a year, because we did that for July 4th last year. So it's kind of crazy.
Did we do that thinking that movie was still coming out in September?
We did Top Gun because, well, I think originally Maverick was supposed to come out July 4th weekend last year, and then they pushed it to Memorial Day this week, and then decided let's just do the original instead. So
those guys
got Stranger Things 4 tomorrow. Obi-Wan is just a lot of content, and I don't have enough time to watch everything.
Well, Zach, you better sacrifice some sleep, man. Social media, you guys can follow all of us on the social media, facebook.com/ the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. The Instagram is all one word, Cinnamon Movie Podcast. The Twitter is at Cinnamon405. You can follow Nick on the Instagram as well, at the 4K Bad Guy. There's where we show a lot of physical media. We're all three big physical media collectors. And you guys can check us out there. So physical media is where it's at. And I'm always down to talk and find some physical media. But today we're talking about Jurassic Park 3, released July 18th, 2001, with an IMDb score of 5.9. Rotten Tomatoes has it at 48%. The Metascore is at 35%. While for some reason, those Google users like it at 86%.
We all know that's Ed. That's fine.
An odd couple with the motive to convince Dr. Grant to go to Isla Island for the holiday, but their unexpected landing startles the island's new creatures. Even that IMDb synopsis was worse than, was just as bad as the movie. I don't know, guys. I haven't seen Jurassic Park 3 in quite some time, maybe about 3 years, but we're going to talk about it. We're on the road to Jurassic Park Dominion. So for those of you that have not joined a bonus episode, it's quick, it's easy. No ads, no segments. We just get straight into the movie. So with a $93 million budget, it grossed a little over $369 million at the box office, starring Sam Neill, William H. Macy, T. Leone, Alessandro Nivola, if I said that right, Trevor Morgan, Michael Jeter, Laura Dern makes a special appearance, and it is directed by Joe Johnston. Zach, we'll start with you. First time you've seen Jurassic Park 3, and honestly, what was it like revisiting it for this episode?
So, probably no surprise. I saw this in the theater when it was when it came out, summer of 2001. I think I saw it twice, actually. My mom took me, and then I think I went with some friends or whatever. I liked it. I think I was still, you know, I'm still part of the Jurassic Park family, so I'm still going to go see whatever they make. This time around, I know the critical reception and the fan base don't really like this one, probably out of all of them that's come out so far. And I could see why on this viewing. It's not as exciting as the other ones. Let's just, and we can go from there.
Nick, what about you? Is this the first time that you've checked it out? And what did you think, honestly?
This will actually be my second time seeing this movie. You know, I feel like these movies, I probably should have done more rewatches. But yeah, the first time I seen it was at the theaters. I already remembered very little of about the movie. So, I mean, it's cool to revisit for this show.
I did not see this in the theaters, and I can't really remember when the first time watched that it was. It might have been the first time that I got a Jurassic Park 3 DVD box set or something. It might have been the first time. And you know what? Is this movie bad? Probably. Is this movie great? No. But the only issue that I had on this recent watch was it's not memorable to me. There wasn't some stuff that I could remember before. There's only a few scenes that I could remember, but we'll get ready to talk about it.
Is this a classic Zach pending? It's fine.
Maybe. that might be the first time you use that on this channel. let's talk about the director, Joe Johnston. Zach, I don't know if you have his filmography pulled up.
Give me a second. I can do that real quick.
He's directed only like 15 movies. Not Safe for Work, Captain America, The First Avenger, The Wolfman,
Jumanji,
Hidalgo, Jurassic Park 3, October Sky, Jumanji, The Pagemaster, The Rocketeer, and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. So this guy's done some pretty good work.
Yeah.
Nick, we'll start with you. Have you seen any of some of his other stuff that I kind of named off? Or if you had to pick maybe like a favorite, do you have a favorite of his? Or is Jurassic Park 3 going to be the... I did not know.
No.
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know he did Jumanji, The Pagemaster.
Jumanji is one of my earlier favorites. Robin Williams. What are some of the other movies you said?
He did Captain America, The First Avenger,
The Wolfman, October Sky.
Yeah, I forgot about The Wolfman.
I really like that Wolfman. I thought they did a pretty cool job with that.
And then The Pagemaster.
Pagemaster.
Nice. When I saw Joe Johnston direct this, I was like, oh, what has he done? He's nobody. I was thinking of somebody terrible, but he's done some pretty good.
He's terrible.
He's done some pretty solid movies.
Put some respect on his name.
Yeah, put some respect. That's why that T's in there, Johnston.
And he ain't silent.
Yeah. If I had to pick one, it would have been a recent watch from last year. I'm going to pick October Sky. It's on, where can you check this out? It's on Stars, or you can rent it on Amazon or for $3.99. October Sky is a really, really good movie with Jake Gyllenhaal and Laura Dern. I didn't know he directed that, so I praise that movie. So, Zach, what about you?
Probably number one for me, probably, well, 1A, 1B. 1A is The First Avenger, Captain America. And then 1B is Hidalgo. I actually really, really enjoy that movie.
Really?
Yeah. You can watch it for free on Tubi if you want.
Hey, but, there you go.
Viggo Mortensen, and it's just basically a race in the desert type film, and it's just fun. I thought so.
Interesting. But Nick, you probably said what you said.
Jumanji.
I did.
Jumanji.
I was watching that the other day. It was my lunch break at work. I was like, ooh. It's really starting, but I didn't get to sit down and watch because I had to go back to work.
And it's weird that Jumanji, and I know we're just going to talk about Jumanji in the Jurassic Park 3 episode. It's fine. That movie has a lot more, like, not mystery, but just funness than the newer ones that have come out recently. So
maybe those could be something to talk about one day. Did he also direct The Nutcracker?
Yep.
Oh, nice. With Morgan Freeman. I haven't seen that yet.
Is it still saran wrapped on that shelf back there on your Disney collection?
Yeah, it is. I haven't opened it yet. But let's dig into it. If you guys want to send in your star rating or your thoughts on Jurassic Park 3, by all means, comment here on the YouTube channel. Talk to us. Or you can send us an email at cinemen921@gmail.com. You start off, this Jurassic Park actually is different straight from the get-go. You don't have really an opening dinosaur kill, really, like you did in the first two. You don't even get to see a dinosaur or any kind of glimpse, really. You get the disappearance of the little boy and the uncle.
Yeah, Eric.
Little boy and the uncle go missing, and then you automatically see Alan Grant and
Ellie and her son, it looks like.
Her son, the husband, the dinosaur man, Alan
Grant. Who cares?
Yeah, really, really honestly, like, it's, I don't know.
You know, it's something that, like you said, Johnny, like, this movie is not great. It's not terrible. It's just meh. You know, you're just kind of watching it, and you don't even get the first big thing is not even until the Spinosaurus shows up, and that's, like, what, like, 20, almost 30 minutes into the movie? And this is an hour and a half film? And so it's just leading up to that, you know, I just feel like these characters are just not, you know, except for Dr. Grant, they're just not, they're not memorable, and you don't care about them.
I wrote it in my notes that I feel like these characters are throwaway characters. Mm-hmm. You don't have any kind of, like, real meaning or connection to any of them. Nick, what do you think?
If it was up to me, I would have killed them all off. There are certain scenes, like, yeah, I would have had someone die in this scene.
I thought the editing was weird. I don't know if you guys noticed just, like, the quick cutting of everything. It was just like, we have to get to bam, 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 on to the next set piece, just gather up all the characters, let's go. It's just like, no, even in Lost World, at least we had some time with Julianne Moore and Vince Vaughn, at least to know what kind of characters they were, you know?
Well, yeah, you also had, like, a whole extra 45 minutes, too, in that movie, though.
Yeah.
For some reason, this one was only, like, an hour and 29 minutes, an hour and 30 minutes exactly.
Yeah,
and
it feels like a B movie, like just a plain up B monster movie, and it just—I think they just slapped Jurassic Park on there just to say, "Yeah, this is part of that world."
You think this was the end? Like, and you both can answer if you want. Do you guys think that this was, like, the complete ending? Like, this is it? After three, we're done. This is the final. This, we're just gonna make it a trilogy and slap it, sell it.
It doesn't feel like it. And the other thing about this movie, it just feels like, I guess there was a lot of, like they were doing the script, like, on the set, just trying to figure out what was going to happen, or they had a whole script and it just didn't pan out. So they were just kind of taking bits and pieces and just, like, gluing it together. It just doesn't feel rushed. It just feels like no effort was put into it. You know, if that makes any sense.
Damn, he came out swinging. Nick, what do you think? Do you You feel the same way, or like, what was your some of your thoughts?
As far as it being, I feel like it would have been a pretty lame tie up. It's like this is the final movie, and you didn't go out without a bang.
Well, it's almost like the ending of this movie where, you know, they get surrounded by the raptors, and then like next thing you know, the Navy shows up and they're like, all right, that's it. That's the end of the movie.
They fly away.
You just spoiled the ending, Zach.
Oh.
How old is this now? 2001, you guys could check it out on the HBO Max. Go HBO Max it up. I did say the first dinosaur that you really see, Zach, you said he's what? He's a stegosaurus?
Spinosaurus. Yeah.
And he kills...
Right? I was going to say, it's Spinosaurus, but before I find out what the actual name for the dinosaur was, I'm just going to refer to it as the cell phone dinosaur. Because you hear the ringtone in it.
The Nokia. We'll just call him the Nokia.
Nokia was strong enough to take out a T-Rex. I'll say that for it.
Yeah, I was gonna get to that. Like, you get Cooper's death, the plane crash, and everything was just like rushed. I have to disagree with you, Zach. I feel like this movie was just super, super rushed. Right? Or did you say you said you didn't?
No, I thought it was rushed. It doesn't feel like that whole sequence with the Spinosaurus from the point where, you know, Cooper gets eaten to the T-Rex fight. I mean, that to me was just like, we could have spent like maybe 15 more minutes with that, maybe playing hide and seek with the dinosaur or something. And it is okay. We just have to move on. Cause you know, I think after that is the raptors. They go to the dinosaur factory or whatever. And then the raptors show up and then there's that whole sequence. You're shaking your head like, oh my God.
But I mean, for you guys watching the one from last week, the raptors in this movie, they looked different. They looked like a different kind of breed of raptors. They had the little feather skin thingy on top and mm-hmm. the little thing on top. And it felt different.
When you have sports clips on the island, you got to, you know, have the latest trend. I don't know. It just, I mean, I think that the raptors, the design of them are cool to a certain extent, but like, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. We have to just make up something new, I guess you could say.
Sorry. Not only did it feel rushed, but like when it with the movie feeling super rushed, like the characters, William H. Macy, who plays the Paul Kirby, and Amanda Kirby, played by
Taylor.
Yeah. I didn't like any of the outside characters other than Grant. They tie you in to try to like Billy too, even though he made like the little the raptor turkey call thing. the whistle. He made the raptor whistle.
Yeah.
They wanted you to fall in love with Billy, kind of, and almost like try to push him as your next dinosaur guy. But I just feel like none of the chemistry was there.
It's not even. I don't think it's even chemistry. There just wasn't no character development. I mean, it's just he was there on a dig, and I guess under Grant's guide or whatever. Like, he was just, I don't know, a student, and he was a teacher or whatever. But it just isn't. We need something more than that. Like, why? Like, what's his motive? I mean, when he steals the raptor's eggs, you kind of get a little bit of a plot thread that immediately gets dropped because he gets taken out by the pterodactyls. But I mean, I don't know. It's just, Nick, it just feels like one of those like horror movies. You just sitting there, and it's just like, okay, hour and a half. Okay, it's done. Let's move on.
Yeah, well, as far as his character, I mean, the first time you're really introduced to, I guess, Billy, is a weird. He was just dusting out the skeleton bones, fossils. It looks like he's just trying to impress that girl he's with. Let's get this toothbrush.
Yeah.
And do it nice and gently. You want the difference between a rock and the fossil? This one's more smoother. That one's harder.
Yeah, we all know it was hard, but anyway.
It's all right, Billy.
What did you guys, Nick, I'll start off with you with this question. The T-Rex fight, where you, throughout the whole first two movies, everybody was super excited to see the T-Rex. You see the T-Rex in this movie really early, like in the 25-minute scene, and it's eating, but it doesn't even last 5 minutes. Like, the T-Rex gets his neck broken, and it goes down, and then boom, no more T-Rex for the rest of the movie.
That's so disappointing. The T-Rex is getting the bites in, like, oh, all right, he's going to take down that Spinosaurus down, but then it just flips around. It's like, son of a bitch.
Zach, what do you think? Same thing? Were you upset first watching the movie?
I was just like, how dare you take out our favorite. But I mean, I get what they were doing. They're just trying to establish that this is a bigger, badder dinosaur on the street, I guess you could say. But I mean, that scene is like so divisive amongst like Jurassic Park fans. I get both sides of it. I get what they're trying to do, but just like, come on, man, you can't kill a T-Rex. What are you doing?
Like, I feel like maybe that should have been
the final battle, almost.
The final showdown.
Yeah, like almost make Jurassic Park 3 like a build up between those two at the end of the movie.
Yeah, like they're running from the T-Rex and the Spinosaurus, and then instead of the stupid raptor ambush at the end, they should have done the big battle. But
they needed to draw us in somehow. Like, come on. Took too long to show a dinosaur. You gotta show a dinosaur.
I know. I will say on this rewatch that the pterodactyl birdcage scene actually I thought was a lot better than I remember it being. To be honest, yeah. I think that was probably, in my opinion, the highlight of the movie.
I have that written down too. Like, the first hour was a little brutal, but once the hour mark hit, the last 30 minutes to me, I felt like saved this movie from being
god awful.
The power of the dog shit. Like, I felt like, because the first hour, I'm not gonna lie to you, I was like, I'm kind of dreading this, but going into the movie open minded, I was like, it's still kind of not fun. You get the bickering and the arguing between the Kirbys, yelling, looking for their kid, the constant back and forth bickering, the arguing.
And it doesn't lead to anything.
No, it makes it feel like they're just, hey, throwaway characters and everybody should die. That's exactly how it felt.
I was waiting for the Spinosaurus to kill William H. Macy while he was on the crane. I was like, okay, like, knock it over and then you can eat him.
But
it just, and it's disappointing because it's just like, you know, you have a major intellectual property, a big blockbuster, and like, this is the best you can come up with. It's just like, I mean, all three, I mean, clearly we're sitting here talking about it. We came up with three better ideas than what the movie actually is.
What was Spielberg doing in 01? Was he doing Saving Private Ryan, or was that 98?
That was 98.
Because I'm kind of wondering, like, why did he, this was his baby. He did one and two. Why was he not going to direct the third entry?
I think he was done. I think after
did he sell the rights?
No, his company Emblem still has the rights. Universal still has the rights. He's a producer on all these movies, basically. I do think after Lost World, he did do Saving Private Ryan. And then let me see. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think his next movie, the movie he was doing during that was AI, which I think, Nick, you said that was your favorite movie of his. He was doing, AI, and then Minority Report was after that. So he was actually doing movies that are better than this. So,
Nick, what did you think of the introductions of the pterodactyls? Like, they teased it last week, or we talked about the tease last week at the end of The Lost World. You see the tease, and then even the poster. Not this poster that I have
here.
The
main poster is the it's like a cross of like the Spinosaurus is like a skeleton, and then it's like a shadow of a pterodactyl.
So what did you think of some of the pterodactyl scenes? Like, did you like them, or at that point were you?
I thought the entry was pretty cool of like it's on that the bridge, and you used to have this Mr. Fog setting, like with the Mercury and the Kirby, Miss Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
Like when she was the second one, I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool? Like as a pterodactyl, I just swooped her up there, and that's how you get the introduction. But just seeing it, like just coming across face to face, I was like, oh, that's pretty nice. There's like highlights out of this movie. This pterodactyl is like the main, will probably be like the main drawing.
This was the original poster, if you can see that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The wings span out.
Yeah.
And for those of yeah, Nick, I agree with you. The introduction where it's like walking.
Like, just like creepy walking, maybe. Yeah. See, yeah. What the hell is that?
But that's like the most intense scene of the movie. I mean, you know, yeah. You have Billy out on the walkway, and his mom's behind him, and then you could just hear like the creak and the cracks of the bridge trying to go, and then the pterodactyl shows up and it takes him away, and it's just a race from that point on. And so you're actually, it's like, okay, I'm actually invested in this movie now.
I have to throw some kind of light out there, because I don't think this actor gets mentioned a lot, and I don't think we haven't really talked about him on our show. I don't think he's been talked about at all in either shows. But Michael Jeter, the guy who plays Udesky.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know who I'm talking about. Yeah. This guy, he's
been in a lot of stuff.
He is in a lot of stuff, but I have to, even though this isn't like one of his most memorable movies, I still have to throw some kind of like light on him. I think he's a really good actor. And for those of you who may not know who I'm talking about, if you have seen The Green Mile, mm-hmm. he's the one who
has a little mouse.
Has the mouse.
Mr. Jangles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
another Stephen King movie.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. When I see, like, when I watch the movie at the theaters, who, like, I know he's come on these other movies, like The Green Mile. He's also come on the Air Bud movie, which I'm pretty sure we've not seen yet. Yeah. But to me, I would always known him as Mr. What the hell am I forgetting his name? But he's from Elmo's World, Sesame Street.
Oh, Mr. Noodles. Yeah. Mr. Noodles.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah.
That's true.
He was a cool actor. I mean, unfortunately, he did pass away, like, what, 2 years after this movie?
Yeah.
Once it came out.
2003. But yeah, I just wanted to bring his name up personally. I want to throw some kind of light on there, because I think I agree with you guys. He's a pretty fun actor.
And like he, and I know this is going to sound like a joke, and it really isn't. He's kind of like a Bill Paxton character actor, where you show up and he's like, oh, I didn't know he was in this, you know, just, and you kind of get like his characters main. He doesn't have memorable characters, but he has a memorable presence. Like, oh, I know that guy. I've seen him before, you know?
Yeah.
So
we kind of talked light about the first scene where you get introduced to the raptors in the, like the science area, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But there's two different big raptor scenes. What did you guys think of the other scene where the ending is kind of like almost wrapped in all three sets? Like, you kind of get a little bit of the raptors, you kind of get a little bit of the Spinosaurus.
Yeah,
you kind of get a little bit of the
pterodactyl. It was like the pterodactyl attack, the Spinosaurus rainy night attack, and then when they are trying to get to the beach, they get ambushed and they have to give up the eggs and all that. It, like you said, Johnny, I think like the last 30 minutes of this movie is actually good, but it doesn't make up for what happened in the last hour, you know. It, you know, even the, you know, I was telling Nick, I was like, even the creature design, it doesn't, I think they are trying to do more CGI. practical effects, like you animatronics. Think? Yeah, because a lot of the raptors, they look like animatronics than CGI.
I was kind of going the opposite way. I felt like they were going a little bit more CGI with, I don't know, maybe it was just...
I'll say the CGI in this prehistoric planet that I'm watching on Apple TV is better than what's in this movie.
Nick, what did you think of the CGI or the animatronics? Did you like both of them, or how did you feel? I mean, because these movies are getting newer and newer, so going from Lost World to this one, did you like it better?
Well, as far as this movie,
CGI wise,
not so much. Yeah, zero.
Little terrible.
It's, you know, it's sad to say, I think this is just a money grabber. You know, they made it just to make money. And this is out of all the six films, this is like the lowest grossing film that this franchise has. I mean, honestly.
That's crazy that you say that, because this reached $370 million.
Yeah, but when you have three films that have reached over a billion... And really? I think Lost World make like 600 million, 650, something like that. And, you know, Dominion, I'm sure, will rake in the money as well. So, I mean, this one, I just don't know if people were just done with it, or they just heard the bad publicity and they're just like, no.
There has to be something else that came out that year around this time to kind of just ruin the summer for Jurassic Park 3. But. That's what I think, at least.
You keep talking, I'll figure that out, because that's going to drive me nuts.
Nick, let's ask you about, like, where does this franchise lead with you? Like, you know, are you a big Jurassic Park fan in general, or is it one of those things where you're just like, nah, you know, I think they're okay. I really kind of want to get some of your thoughts, because this is honestly like a new, fresh take for us, at least, you know. We're always talking horror movies on Wednesdays, but I think this is kind of a pretty cool conversation. Almost a horror-like franchise going into a big action movie. Like, what do you think about this movie or the franchise? Like, big fan?
The franchise in general, I guess I would say I'm casual viewer. I mean, because these movies I've not seen a whole lot of. I saw the first one I did enjoy. I mean, like I said, I think in the other episode, my main obsession was with horror movies. And growing up, I didn't really have cable to like watch. You know, I don't know, they would show like these movies on certain networks.
Right.
And the only way I would watch movies is if I bought them like on DVD or anything like that. And Jurassic Park wasn't really one of those movies that I owned on physical media. Yeah, but I mean, there are movies that I at least check out. Give a watch.
So
let me go through what came out the summer of 2001. So this is quite interesting, actually. So starting in May, we had May the 4th. Ironically, May the 4th was the Mummy Returns, which was a big moneymaker. May the 11th, which was A Knight's Tale, the Heath Ledger movie. The big one, May 16th, was Shrek. That was when it came out.
Oh, shit.
May 25th. May 25th was Pearl Harbor, the Michael Bay movie. In June, we had Evolution, which I don't know if you've ever seen that or not.
Oh, of course. David Duchovny.
Swordfish. Atlantis, Lost Empire, was in June of 2001. Lara Croft, Tomb Raider. Dr. Dolittle 2, The Fast and the Furious, was June of 2001.
Oh, no, that's what did it right there, was Dr. Dolittle 2.
Yeah.
Dr. Dolittle.
AI. And Eddie Murphy.
Two Eddie Murphy movies?
I know.
Trek. Nick,
AI came out a month before Jurassic Park 3 in June.
Hmm.
July, Cats and Dogs. That's what sunk it right there.
Oh.
Cats and Dogs.
My birthday month.
July the 4th was Cats and Dogs and Scary Movie 2.
Scary Movie 2.
And then Legally Blonde was July the 13th, and then Jurassic Park 3 was July the 18th.
So
So yeah, there's other better films out there. Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes was a week later.
I don't know. That is weird because you would think it would dominate, especially with Legally Blonde over there.
But you got to remember, this was during a time when like The Mummy Returns came out in May. That movie was still in theaters by July. You know, nowadays it's
on Blu-ray by then.
Yeah, it's out of the theater by that point. So yeah,
I kind of felt like this movie was going to take a little bit of dive on the rewatch when Alan Grant fell asleep and he woke up to a talking dinosaur. Alan, wake up, Alan. When I rewatched that today and I saw that, I'm like,
is that the shooter?
Is that really happening?
Is that the shooter of this scene?
Yeah. I really did try to go into it with an open mind because I didn't want to just completely shit on this movie the entire episode, even though that's exactly what it sounds like we're doing.
And I'll be honest, I was excited to rewatch this because I hadn't seen this one in maybe 10 plus years, to be honest. Jeez. And like, yeah, I mean, I guess there's a reason why. But I mean, it, like you said, Johnny, this movie's not bad. It's not great. It just is, you know, just doesn't have a lot of redeeming qualities to it.
You know what it is? It didn't have Jeff Goldblum
in his sexy shirt. Yeah,
it did not have Jeff Goldblum.
But there's mention of his character.
Yeah,
yeah. What do you think about the jar of T Rex pee? You think that was the same? You think that's the same jar that they used in Batman versus Superman?
I really hate that man. No.
I want to know how he got though. He's like, you don't want to know. Got the jar of piss.
Yeah, for real. Like, can that please be in the extended cut?
It's in the Joe Johnson edition.
The Johnston Johnson.
The Johnson cut. Johnson.
What did you guys think of the actual complete ending though? Because I'll give my thoughts. I really thought the ending was a salute. Like, this is it. You get the helicopter going off into the distance with Alan Grant, you know, the guy who, one of the main characters from the first one, who everybody liked and everybody was super excited for him to come back in Jurassic Park 3. And then you get, you know, he's always been obsessed with birds in the first movie. And in this one, the final scene, the helicopter just kind of floating away with the pterodactyls flying with him. And he's just in awe and he can see him real up and close. He saw him up and close earlier, but he was being under attack. This one, he can kind of just see him fly with the helicopter. And right. I think it was it could have been a good send off if they wanted to end it. That's just my thought. Because he's always obsessed with them saying, you know, that they look like birds. And you had one of the biggest dinosaur-looking birds right next to you. But that's my thoughts. Nick, what did you think? Did you like the ending? I know you guys kind of said you really didn't. So.
Yeah, because earlier I said if that was going to be the true ending of this, if it was going to be a trilogy and end it like that, it's kind of a weak ending. But if it was like a movie without the Jurassic Park name on it, then sure, a nice little happy ending. But
Zach, your thoughts on the ending with the helicopter and the pterodactyls flying away together?
I just thought it was like just blunt, not even blunt. That's not even the right word. Just like just out of left field. It's just like, okay, they get rescued. The pterodactyls fly away, which is never mentioned at all in these future installments. It's never brought up like, oh yeah, those pterodactyls, you know, they landed in Oklahoma, had a nice family, everything had worked up. Okay. No, it just never brought up again. And it's just, I get what you're saying to an extent, Johnny, where they're just kind of doing the helicopter shot as they're flying away. Like the first movie, but Like you said, Nick, if this was just like a Joe Schmo blockbuster original film, that would have been fine. but you know, for it to be a Jurassic Park movie, you expect a little bit more.
Yeah. Let's go into a favorite scene. Nick, do you have? You don't have to say multiple if you don't want to, or is it just one memorable scene, one favorite scene?
The credits.
Damn. It was honestly, it wasn't even a scene that we mentioned up or mentioned at all or anything. But we did kind of talk about the actor. I'm ready for his actual name, but Mr. Noodles. I thought it was a cool idea how the Raptors had him set up as a trap. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, no one's come in. And then they just freaking snap his head. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was one of and the pterodactyl overall scene. That was cool.
Zach, you got any favorite scenes or a favorite scene?
I'd say probably, like you said, Nick, the pterodactyl, that whole sequence I thought was actually well done on this rewatch. And then even though it's like a minute and a half scene, the T-Rex versus Spinosaurus fight, the visuals of that were actually pretty decent. So,
I'd have to agree with everybody. The T-Rex fight was really fun. The scene where the phone rings and it's in the dinosaur's stomach. You guys had brought that up earlier. And then just like agreeing with all you guys, the actual pterodactyl scene, there's a reason they teased it. There's a reason that, you know, I will say at that 1 hour mark, it just, the movie does come alive. And it, to me, it does save it from being,
terrible.
Pretty much. Like I know it sounds like this whole episode was a complete like dogging out the movie, but I think this can be a fun popcorn action movie if you just go in and maybe not even think about the word Jurassic Park. If you just go in and think that the name of the movie is called Alan Grant Goes to the Jungle, you might be like, you know, it's a pretty good movie. But yeah, I don't think this movie was that bad. It did save me. That last hour and the introduction of the pterodactyls did help me out a lot.
I thought you said it was going to give a standing ovation at the end.
Oh, let me tell you, I stood up in my living room. Just gave it away. No. Yeah, like I said, if anybody's out there watching or listening, send in your star ratings for Jurassic Park 3 right here on the YouTube channel or on the email. So we talked about the favorite scenes a little too late on the clicker there. But now it's time for one of the most important parts of the episode. Star rating. For those of you that are new, like everybody still might be watching us live. Ratings from 1 to 10. 10 being the absolute best of the best of the best. 1 being absolutely terrible. Zach, you're the lover of the franchise. Kick us off. Star rating.
You know, honestly, in my notes, I had it as a 5 after the movie was over. I was like, yeah, this is pretty terrible. But, you know, just thinking about it in the last couple of days and just thinking about what the good parts are of this movie, it saves it. So I'll bump it up to a 6. And it is a patent pending Zach. It's fine. I get the feeling this is gonna be less than it's fine.
You know what? I was going to say the same thing. That's fine, but I'm just going one below you. I'm going with a 5. And if you guys listen to any of the older audio episodes, you guys will know my grade personally is always based on the rewatchability. And to me, there's no rewatchability with this movie. It wasn't memorable for me. I by maybe 2 or 3 scenes that I could mention, it kept me interlocked with the TV screen and with the story in general. The story was just you know,
the a story was not, rescue.
Yeah, it wasn't even done well to me. The story was an hour and a half. You didn't get introduced, and you didn't get to have any love with the characters other than Laura Dern, who was only in it for a cup of coffee. Alan Grant was really only, you know, he's in it throughout the whole movie, of course, but he can't do much as far as saving the movie. I just felt like there was no connection, and it wasn't memorable for me. I can name the first two Jurassic Park movies. I can name a handful of memorable scenes. I can only name one or two in this one. So for me, this movie's getting a 5, just because the rewatchability wasn't fun, and it wasn't memorable for me. Nick, what about you? 5. 1 out of 10.
1 out of 10. 0.5. The funny thing about carrying the number 5, because I'm on the show I do, that's the highest rating because we do 1 to 5s, but it's not a perfect score. It's but 5 out of 10. Generously, I mean, I probably could have gave it a 6, but no, I would sit at a 5. Because it's not completely terrible as the rest of the fan base makes it out to be, but it has had some "why is that in there" type of moments, but the talking dinosaur. I know it was just a nightmare, but still, it's...
Let's just say if I didn't own this bad boy that has 3 in it, I probably wouldn't own it. Let's just say that.
That sounds like a Halloween Resurrection type of thing. Yeah. Just have it just because it's in the collection.
Yeah.
For sure. Halloween Resurrection. Ugh.
Yeah, that turns 20 years old this year, by the way.
Uh-oh. Friday the 14th Cinnamon Podcast crossover.
Halloween Resurrection. I'll just say you'll be on your own on that one. I won't be doing that.
So, yeah, there's our star ratings. You got 2 5s and a 6. Like I said, please let us know your thoughts. I really do want to know a lot of people's thoughts on this movie. Whether it's here in the comments before we get out of here, or you can send us in that email, cinemen921@gmail.com. You can also send us messages on all of these platforms right here. If you're watching, Instagram/TheCinemanMoviePodcast, Twitter/@Cinemen405. The Facebook is where everybody reaches that as well, Facebook.com/TheCinemanMoviePodcast. Nick, I'm going to have them send you a message too. I want, you know, if anybody sends you a message,
slide to DMs.
Slide into his DMs.
But don't get too crazy.
Just don't send any pictures of a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Oh.
where can they find you out on the Instagram, Nick?
At the 4K bad guy on Insta. Just trying to get back into it because I feel like I'm a lazy poster, really. I need to get back on the game. But also, I don't want to just run through all the movies. So let's take it one step at a time.
I wish I could feel that way, man. But sometimes I'm like, man, I feel like if I don't post,
they'll forget about you.
Like in all honesty, it's easy for sometimes for people to forget. But then I'm like, when I do take 2 or 3 days off and I don't watch anything or I don't mention anything, that first post that comes back is like hot, like 70, 80 people. I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah. And you get some followers. And
Zach, we're going to need you to get on the Instagram, man. We're going to need you to touch your physical media and
we're going to touch it.
We're going to need you to even if it's like a post or two a week, I think you would benefit from it. And physical media only. And I think you'll benefit from it. The podcast will benefit from it. And I think you'll enjoy it. Physical media. Join the rage.
I'm a hermit, so that's going to take a lot for me to do that.
So find us on social media. Hit us up. Nick.
Do it.
Oh, were you going to say something?
No, I was going to say there was a couple of more comments that I didn't get to read out loud because I didn't want to rudely interrupt. But they were from Franco because he likes to use the word girthy a lot, so he kind of just emphasized, like, girthy. And then he responded after that, put that on the t-shirt.
Girthy.
So I have a question. Like, I know Griffey's like one of your sayings. What is it? What is all your sayings? Like everyone, like I know it's like, what is Zach? Zach Manning? Is that another saying on the Cinnamon Blue podcast?
Things. It's fine.
It's fine. That's mine. That's my go-to when a movie, when a movie is not good, but it's not terrible. It's just in that weird middle ground where you don't ever want to watch it again, and you're like, "Eh, it's fine."
It's fine.
Girthy, just well, how did that come anyway? I was talking, and I was like, "You know, that's a long movie. I don't want to talk about that long of a movie." So me being, you know, in the 12th grade forever for the rest of my life,
stuck in an Adam Sandler movie.
I'm like, what's another word for lengthy movie? You know, like I don't want to use the word big or lengthy. I was like, how about girth? Every time you say girth around somebody, do they not giggle? They laugh. I do it at work all the time, even though I shouldn't. And
he's gonna be sent to HR one day.
Sorry, can you see that?
I work at a zoo, by the way, for anybody who's wanting to know a zoo. Jurassic Park Dominion is where it's coming.
Well, I mean, Nick owns the dinosaurs, so I mean, you know.
But no, like the way the movie is, you know, lengthy and girthy is how that came about. And I'm just like, you know, it's fun. I would put that on a t-shirt, and t-shirts are coming. I just am trying to get 4 or 5 out at a time of different sayings. I would love to get just the one out and it just be the logo. With the now streaming, the red, I think the red, the black, and the red is fun. That the colors pop out. Streaming since 2018, I think that would be a fun t-shirt. That'll be the first t-shirt, but I want to put everything else out at once. So girthy, it's fine.
Meat and potatoes was one for a while.
Meat and potatoes,
girthy.
I
was gonna say on your like, I guess your main, you would have like maybe all your sponsors on your back, the t-shirt.
Yeah. and you know, secret inside, I got one of the sponsors. That's another thing that's holding me up is the sponsors are paying for the t-shirt. So I'm trying to get all the designs and everything that I want to get pushed out is going to the sponsor. So, you know, everything helps out through them. And I know this is an ad-free show, so I'm not gonna put any limelight on it, but you guys can follow all the sponsors over on our social media pages. So yeah, but speaking of
next week, guys,
the next episode that we'll join you at will be Monday audio wise on the Monday Memorial Day. So kind of a big episode for us. It's the 4th annual Memorial Day episode. You know, we, like I said, we usually talk a war movie, but this week I'll put it right there. The Tom Cruise is getting an episode. So Top Gun Maverick, it's in theaters right now. If you guys want to check it out, go check it out. And we'll talk about it on Monday.
So next week, though.
Yeah, next week, next Thursday, June the 2nd, we're getting back into Jurassic Park, and we're talking Jurassic World, the first one from 2015. So,
absolutely. It's hard to believe next week is June, to be honest. That's crazy.
Nick, how's the weather in Texas? Are you guys getting some cool days, or is it already like feeling like the dog days of summer?
I wish it was cool days. No, I think we've seen it long ago. It rained, but it's steaming.
Steaming. Right now it's like 68 degrees here, so we're cooling off. But by the time we talk again next week, we're gonna get into the 90s again. Yeah. So. But that's the bonus episode for today. Jurassic Park 3 next week. Jurassic World, and then don't forget Monday Memorial Day, Top Gun Maverick. This weekend it's in theaters. Go check it out before Monday. Yep. Zach, do you have anything you want to let loose before we put that girthy nail in the coffin of Jurassic Park 3?
A short nail, for Jurassic Park 3. If you like the Jurassic Park movies, I say just go ahead. I just say, you know, give it a chance, and you know, if you like it, you know, power to you. If not, I understand why. But yeah, we're off to the danger zone for Top Gun Maverick now.
Nick, do you have anything you want to add in? Next time we'll see you on Friday the 14th.
Just on Friday the 14th. Yeah.
This Wednesday.
I think it's a movie called.
Don't forget. Don't worry. I got it here for you.
I know it's how it's spelled out, but as far as the actual saying, is it malevolent?
Malevolent. It is a horror movie from 2018. It is currently streaming on Netflix, but it stars the amazing, the very talented, the very beautiful Florence Pugh. So that's the next horror movie. That's the next horror movie that we're talking about on Wednesday, June.
Just sparked my interest.
Yeah, I'm excited. Not just because it's Florence Pugh, but the last few.
I think it's because of Florence Pugh. It's not really because of the movie.
So yeah, I'm excited. Nick, are you excited for Wednesday?
Always Wednesdays.
Do you have anything you want to add, Nick, before we run out of here?
Besides that, I just wanted to comment about your shirt. I just wanted free Dr. Pepper, of course.
You want a free Dr. Pepper?
But yeah.
So yeah.
It's been fun.
Been fun.
Jumping on again.
Everybody, thank you for joining us, and we'll talk on this podcast, on this channel next week, Jurassic Park, Jurassic World Dominion. So thank you for joining everybody on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast, and happy Memorial Day weekend.